Hey y'all, it's Max. If you're enjoying Mage Hand High Five and you want more, I want to invite you to join us on Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Patreon is the primary source of funding for our show, and support from our patrons directly allows us to keep telling stories like this one and sharing them with you. We just revamped our Patreon offerings for 2026, and right now we're doing a special dice giveaway for new and upgrading patrons. Our first new Patreon tier is Mage Hand Finger Guns. For $2 a month, you'll get a special role in our Discord server and access to suggest intro rankings for each of our episodes. Next, the Mage Hand Down Low tier has had a couple changes. For $5 a month, you'll continue to get ad-free episodes and access to our talkback podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, but now you'll also get monthly homebrew drops from our actual play episodes to use in your games at home. And to round it out, I'd like to introduce Mage Hand Up High. For $10 a month, you'll get access to everything from the finger guns and down low tiers, and you'll also get access to a monthly variety live stream featuring one or more of the Mage Hand crew, and a monthly creative piece from one of us inspired by our actual plays. It could be, you know, a journal entry or a song or essay, DM notes, or honestly, it could be anything. To give you a preview of what to expect, all our January Patreon content will be available for free to anyone with a free or a paid subscription. Just head on over to patreon.com/magehandhighfive to check it out. Plus, anyone who joins as a paid member or upgrades their existing membership before the end of February will automatically be entered into a drawing to win a free Mage Hand High Five branded D20. Your support genuinely means the world to us, and it helps us make the show better and better and better. And with that, how about a high five and on with the show?
Welcome back to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to bite into ice cream with their front teeth.
Oh no! You monster!
And we're already you monster. Upset.
This is a race to the bottom. No one wants to do this.
I have a clarification question, and it could be both.
You have lactate.
Hard or soft ice cream?
You have lactate. I think the actual question was hard or soft ice cream.
Oh.
Let's go hard, because that's worse, right? Yeah, hard's worse.
Could you imagine biting into soft ice cream?
Just biting into soft serve.
That's despicable.
First, Rowan McStay.
Oh, thank God. Hi, I'm Rowan McStay. Lion's Hollow, my briar. And I like to, with hard ice cream, if I don't have it on, I like it on a cone, but if I don't have it on a cone, I like to mix it all up until it becomes like ice cream soup and then eat it like I'm, like it's a bit, like I'm a baby.
You turn it into like applesauce.
Classic.
Yeah, I turn it into like ice cream applesauce. But on a cone, I don't know. The cone is sacred. I love a waffle cone. I'm not going to mess it up.
Because this is an audio medium, I have to have a reaction, but I'm just staring at you because of the baby soup.
I'm sorry. Ice cream baby soup, it's good.
You do that with brownies, and then you really got something going there.
Holy shit, you're so right.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Robin Langenhop.
You motherfucker.
Oh, thank the Lord Almighty. I'm Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid, and I'm a, like, I can't wait for the day that I have removable teeth so they can just kind of gum at the ice cream, because that's I just kind of cover my teeth with my lips and just
denture
are
dreams.
You anticipating having removable teeth? Is that something that you're like actively planning for?
I'm not like hoping for it, but if it happens, a fringe benefit will be able to like properly eat ice cream the way I desire.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect to be able to repeat my previous comment, but this is an audio medium and I am just staring at you in silence because of that statement.
I wanted to have a comedic response, Max.
And last, Max Weinberg.
Hi, I'm Max. Playing Wyatt Forsythe. I think Wyatt would be able to heat his teeth so it wouldn't be uncomfortable.
Ooh.
I have very sensitive temperature teeth, so if I were to actually bite into the ice cream, it would cause me a lot of pain. Ooh. But sometimes, if it's like really hard and doesn't like lick off, I do kind of like a, this is a visual bit.
Like a chipmunk.
Let me figure it. Yeah, it's just kind of like a, just kind of little nibbles to get it off.
Max being the mint chocolate chipmunk over here.
I'm imagining Max being having teeth so sensitive that he takes a single bite out of ice cream and immediately passes out due to pain.
Okay, not that bad.
And with that, let's dive right in.
Down this chute.
Oh yeah, let's keep falling.
Last time on Mage Hand High Five, you were headed down the Westfall mountain range, trying to find the Fount of the Flame in order to reignite Wyatt's connection to his god. You were beset upon by hidden archers who barred your path. But once the Twin River Trio's connections to the Flame, River, and Wilds were revealed, the hidden archers came forth, revealing themselves as Knights of the Flame, hailing from a local town, Sacrament. As well, one of them was revealed to be Mordric, who, in his journey to redeem himself, pledged his service to Sacrament. They took you to their hidden town, albeit blindfolded, and you met with the Knight Commandant of Sacrament, Maeve. She revealed that the Fount had been taken over by bandits, and that revealing Sacrament's location would compromise it. You volunteered to clear out the Fount, and Mordric asked to come along. You all departed for the Fount, but along the way were ambushed, and in pursuing the ambushers, were tricked into falling through a hidden trapped door. Where you are now.
Yeah, where are we right now?
Actually, some things to get out of the way first.
Oh, God.
This episode will be recorded with each of you independently. Mm. When it's time to switch players, I will ask you to leave the table and bring in the next player. And please, don't discuss what's happening to you with the other players.
Oh dear.
Like the phrase, what's happening to you? What's happening to you puts me in a really particular position in relation to those things.
And one more thing. You have all entered a weird space of magic. You each feel stronger. Therefore, all damage-dealing spells and smites now do an extra 1d10 damage of the spell's damage type.
Oh.
As well, every consecutive successful melee or ranged hit increases your damage by 1d10 psychic damage, with a miss restarting the streak.
Wow.
You hit, stack an additional 1d10 to the next successful attack. You miss, start back at your original. A couple of clarifying things. You cannot stack smite and melee. You must pick one or the other. Salome.
All right.
As well, switching between magic and melee / ranged restarts the streak. Ranged spell attacks count as magic, not ranged. So essentially all spell damage is guaranteed an extra 1d10.
Oh.
Melee, you roll the die.
Does this rule also apply to any enemies we might encounter?
To anything happening to us?
You'll just have to find out, won't you?
Yikes.
Great. Everybody but Robin, leave the table.
Oh, dear.
Ah,
hi. Here we go.
Hayden, you wake up. As you come to, you look around. You're in a fairly featureless box, maybe 4 foot by 4 foot by 8 foot. The walls seem to be made of a thick wood. The only adornment, a large number 4 painted on one wall. It looks like you still have your weapons and items.
Is there a ceiling?
There is. You are boxed in. And as you take this in, you realize what woke you up. You hear a voice coming from outside the box. The voice says,
"Promise you a show unlike any other. In this round, our lifers must be among the first to reach the final turn of the labyrinth, or else. So place your bets, folks. And lifers, remember this, a dead lifer can't cross the finish line before you. So let the games begin, and welcome.
The wall with the number before you falls forward, opening the box. And the voice finishes,
"Welcome to the pit."
Outside the box, there is a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
First, directly before you is a large half-circle open area. The large wall that closes it is about 60 feet away, with an opening in its middle. It's maybe 60 feet tall. The rest of this open area is ringed with a shimmering wall. It looks like it continues up and over, doming the entire arena, including the labyrinth. Mm. As you look around, you notice several other people stumbling forth from boxes just like yours, all labeled 1 through 20. Above their heads, and now above yours as you look up to check, hangs a number, magically hanging over your head. Yours is 4. Several of these lifers, as you heard the announcer put it, have already begun running for the opening in the wall. You look and see one blonde woman, braids streaming down her back. Her number 17 turns and sinks a sword into number 16, the redheaded man next to her, killing him instantly. From beyond the shimmering wall, cheers erupt. What do you do?
I draw my crossbow and immediately start running forward.
Great. You are running when one of the other lifers, a tall half-orc man with a crazed look in his eye, draws his sword and goes to attack you. The number 3 hangs over his head. And that's a 15 to hit?
15 doesn't do it.
Great. Do you keep running?
I will strike back with my crossbow.
All right, roll to hit.
I don't like this, Casey. I really don't. That is a 17 to hit.
That hits. Roll damage.
Okay.
And add a 1d10 to the next attack roll.
All right, that is 10 damage, and I will fire again.
All right.
19.
That also hits. You're now up to 2d10.
13 damage.
Okay.
And I will bonus action attack a third time.
Go to town.
15.
That misses.
Okay.
The man staggers back, 2 crossbow bolts in his chest. He looks stunned for the moment. Do you press your attack or do you run?
Friend, we don't have to do this. I don't know where we are, what's happening. We don't have to be against each other, all right? Truce?
He looks down at the crossbow bolts, looks at you, and says, "I'm making it out of here."
We'll see about that. I run.
Okay. You run. He's going to try and hit you again. That's a miss.
Okay.
You head into the labyrinth.
I don't know where else I'm going to go.
Most of the lifers have already gone through or lay dead in the opening area.
Okay.
You run into the labyrinth, and ahead of you, you see 3 separate paths. It branches to the left, to the middle, and to the right. Which one do you take?
Can I make a survival check to get a sense of a suitable path forward?
Absolutely.
That's a 23.
You look, you chill for a second, and then you hear a scream coming from the right hallway. And you know, if you go down that hallway, there might be danger.
I'll make a left. And I will cast Longstrider on myself as I go.
Great. You cast Longstrider on yourself, which means you move twice as fast through this labyrinth as most of the other people.
Wow. Okay.
And you descend deeper into this labyrinth. And would you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Would you call Rowan in?
I will do that.
Casey, you're being very saucy about all this.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, hi.
Salome, you wake up. You are in a cell about 10 foot by 10 foot by 10 foot. All of the walls, save the front, are half stone on the bottom, half bars on the top, affording a little privacy. The front is full iron bar. To either side of you are other cells. Yours seems to be around the middle of a long row, with another row across the way and one directly behind. There's a cot in the middle of the room, bolted directly to the floor. Outside your cell, the outside world shimmers slightly, as if the space between the bars were the surface of a bubble.
Mm.
In the cell to your left, you hear shuffling footsteps and a man muttering to himself.
I walk over to where I hear sound. Do I see anyone else? Or do I see anyone?
There are other people in cages.
Okay.
Or other people in these cells.
I assume no one I recognize?
No.
All right. Oh, hell. Okay, we were just falling and we woke up here?
Yep.
All right. I think the first thing I do is just call out, Hayden? Wyatt? Y'all here?
You shout that, and you hear from another cell down the block, shut up!
Who are you?
Same as you. A prisoner.
Alrighty. Do you know who's got us?
Around that time, you see someone peek their head over the wall of the cell next to yours, peeking through the bars to see you.
The one who was shuffling?
No, the other side.
I'm going to do a quick inventory check as I walk over there. What do I have on me of my things?
You have all of your things.
Huh. All right, that's unusual. Yeah, I walk over to someone who's peeking their head out, and I say, hey, who the hell are you?
Hey, I'm Loda. Loda Dendrick. Although I almost married a guy with the last name of Bias. You know, Loda Bias.
All right, Loda, pleasure to make your acquaintance. What's Loda look like?
From what you can tell of Loda, you can't see much. She looks to be a halfling woman.
All right.
And she is struggling a little bit to pull herself up so that she can see you.
Loda, hey, do you know what's going on here?
She says, let me guess, trapdoor got you?
Yeah, yeah, no, my friends and I were just outside, and I woke up here by myself.
Yeah, just about everybody here got the same story.
Do you know what happened
Something
to the
similar.
People I was with? What happened to you? What? Sorry, I'm a little confused right now. Can you tell me what's going on?
Sure. You're locked up. You're in the pinch.
No shit, Loda.
No, I mean like you're locked up. Like you ain't getting out of here.
What's that mean?
Hmm?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, they got you.
What, did they get you too?
They got everybody in here.
I'm going to try to use a little bit of magic. Just create some, like, create a flower on ironwood.
Okay. You do. And she says, wow, look at that.
So you can cast magic in here.
You can cast magic, but you're really not going to want to do too much that involves outside of this cell.
Right. What happens?
Well, you see that sort of shimmery thing?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a reverberation spell. It
right.
will bounce anything. You try and cast a spell, it's going to bounce it back at you. If you try to teleport outside of it, it's going to bounce you back in. And you're going to teleport into and out of the same place at the same time and into yourself. And what I like to call squunching yourself on account of the noise that a guy made when I saw him do it one time.
Okay. All right. Who is they? Who has us?
Beats the fuck out of me.
Well, so you just been here? You seen anybody?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I saw the, you know, the past 11 people come through your cell.
What happened to them?
Well, a couple of them blew themselves up trying to fireball their way out of here. One guy got taken off to the games, though that doesn't happen very often.
Wait, sorry, what's that? What, the games, what is that?
Oh, the games. That's well, I don't know much about them personally. I never had to go myself, but I know what the people who come back say. Guy across from me, Gary, he got pulled 3 times for the games. Guess he was real popular. Didn't come back from the 3rd one, though.
Oh, hell. All right. What did he tell you about the games?
Well, he told me that the first time there was sort of a tug of war. He and a lot of the other folks, about like 8 other people trying to tug one side or the other. But the losing team gets pulled over the ledge onto some spikes. And then the second time, he said it was like hide and seek, but they sent this fella called the Wraith after to seek them. Right nasty fella, turns invisible in the blink of an eye, no qualms about skewering people. And then only the gods know what happened to him the 3rd time.
Holy hell, okay. Have they been doing anything to you, or have you just been down here since you got here?
I've just been passing the time. I'm working on my jokes.
Loda, if we get out of this together, I'd love to hear them, but I need to find Hayden and Wyatt now. I cannot have them ending up in some death games without help.
Remind me what your name is.
Sorry, ma'am, I don't think I said Salome Briar.
Salome. Nice to meet you, Salome.
Pleasure.
I'm gonna share a little bit of honesty with you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You're going to go through a phase where you're going to want to fight. You're going to want to think up schemes to get out of here. You probably got people on the outside. You see, it's easier if you forget about them. Besides, they hardly ever pull from the trespassers for the games anyway.
How long you been in here?
Well, there was a point in time where I drew lines in the dirt on the floor to sort of like try and tally my days, but I ran out of room.
Okay. That is all very good information. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear you've been down here for so long, and I will take your advice into consideration. Is anyone else here good to talk to?
Well, don't talk to the fella on the other side. All he mutters is, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be here, I shouldn't be here. Not very much of a conversationalist, if you ask me.
I don't think he probably should be here.
Well,
I don't think any of us should be here.
Yeah, but we are.
Loda, have all of you ever tried to get out at once?
Well, problem is, not much an opportunity. I mean, what are we going to do? Fire on all cylinders at once and blow ourselves all up?
Is it just magic that's stopped, or is it lockpicking and things like that, too? My friends are a really good lockpick. If I can't get out, they probably could.
It's just about everything. That bubble don't like you trying to reach on the outside.
You stick your hand through? It hurts you?
She holds up a hand that's... It looks to be healed at this point, but has pretty severe burning on it. And as she holds it up, she goes, hey, whoop! And drops.
Oh, she was holding on to the...
She was holding on with her other hand and fully drops out of sight. And she goes, oh, shit.
Oh, dear heart, sorry, you gotta come back up.
Hold on.
Well, that's okay. Hey, if it's easier for you, you don't have to... Damn, you're strong. Look at the upper body strength on you. I always wanted to do a pull-up. I'm not real good at it.
Well, I'm always interested in trying to talk to the other folks. So you should see Derek on the other side back there. He don't do much anymore, but he used to be a lot of fun to talk to.
As we're here, I think that I would like to be mentally... And you'll have to tell me if I can do this, mentally psyching myself up a little bit. Like, I think Salome is just racking her brain for every possible idea, opportunity, is trying to, like, calm her breathing and, like, focus herself, is trying to remember every tactical bit of information that she learned from her family, from Jameson, from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I want to use Inspiring Leader on myself to give myself an extra 16 temp HP.
Ooh, okay.
Great. So then I'll give myself an extra 16 temp HP. Just as all of this is happening, I think Salome is kind of stealing herself for...
For what may come.
What may come, exactly.
Absolutely.
You said Derek? What happened to Derek?
I don't know. Just sort of slumped over one day.
Right. So what would you recommend we do?
I mean, I guess I wasn't clear. You just kind of got to make your own peace with it.
I prepare an attack action.
Against Loda?
No, God, no. Against anyone who comes through that door. And I will wait.
Okay.
Well, doesn't sound like I'm going to be able to find Hayden and Wyatt right now. So while we wait, you want to run me through a couple of those jokes you were talking about?
She smiles and says, "You're the first person to ever ask."
It's a little dour in here. I don't know. Levity might not be for everyone, but my Aunt Mag's always said there's nothing wrong with laughing through mortal danger.
She smiles and says, "My mama used to say the same thing. So, there's a bear and a rabbit walking through the woods." And as she says that, Rowan, would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Would you call on Max, please?
Oh, hell. Yeah, all right.
Wyatt, you wake up. The first thing you notice is the smell of cigars. The second is that you're seated on a leather couch. It sticks to you a little bit, as if you've lain here for a minute. The third is that across from you, standing by the door, is a fully grown owl bear, its beak wide in a snarl. As you take this in, you find that the animal does not move with you. Its eyes stay fixed on a spot just behind you. In fact, as you look at its eyes, they seem much shinier than they should be. It is stuffed. And as you look around, you find the room you're in is covered, floor to ceiling, in taxidermy. Everything from small pheasants and foxes to the mounted heads of mountain lions and displacer beasts. There must be well over 60 dead animals in this room, no two alike. Your couch faces the double door entrance to this room, and behind you is a long glass display case of even more smaller animals. And at the far end of this room is a desk, ornate with a stained glass lamp. In the large back chair behind it, bare feet, or I guess I should say bugbear feet, fully on the desk, cigar in hand, is a bugbear man. He's easily in his mid to late 60s, long sideburns swoop down his leathery face with a disproportionately dark scalp of hair fashioned in a pompadour style. He wears suspenders over a collared shirt only buttoned partway to the top, and he sports massive rings on each finger and large necklaces around his neck. In his lap is an elven woman, maybe 20s, though elven ages are hard to tell. She wears a bright pink dress, flashy and eye-catching, with blonde hair tied back in a highly stylized bun. Her arms are wrapped around the bugbear man's leathery neck, and she's giggling. As you see them, the man blows a smoke ring from his cigar and grins, revealing one of his canine teeth to be solid gold.
Well, well, well. Rise and shine, sleepyhead.
Who are you?
You get a pleasant sleep. That couch, I know it's leather, but I find it mighty comfortable. It's one of my favorites.
Who are you? Where am I? Where is Solomon?
I apologize.
Hayden?
Hold on, where's the fire, boy? Hold on. We ain't in no rush. Hop up, honey bunny. Let's greet this fine young man.
The elven woman sighs petulantly and stands to her feet. He chuckles and slaps his hands down on the desk. He says,
well, I guess I should introduce myself. My name is Boyd Crenshaw. But friends call me Boyd, so why don't you do that?
Hello, Boyd.
There we go. That's the first step towards friendship. And as to your second question, well, we'll get to that in just a second. First, how are you doing, Wyatt? You comfortable?
I guess. I'd be a lot more comfortable if you told me where I was.
Well, you're in my office. Look around. Each one of these animals I killed and mounted myself. You like them?
They're fine. I've seen better.
A sportsman, you hunt?
Oh, no, that was my father. But once again, where am I and where are my friends?
A man to the point. I like that. I like that.
Well, he pops all of his knuckles in one go and says,
well, I guess let me start with a little bit of a ramp up, if you don't mind. Well, I'm but a humble entrepreneur, a business man, if you like. And as for why I'm so busy, well, I'll answer that question with a question. Wyatt, if a man has deeply offended you in the eyes of the law, but not enough to deserve death, you understand, well, what do you do with him?
I would probably call my lawyer or have somebody do that.
Call your lawyer?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we still have need for sharks in this day and age.
He puts out his cigar and clips the end of another one and says, oh, you want one?
Oh, no, thank you. I can't smoke. I'm not allowed. I'm not old enough.
Not allowed? Not allowed? Who says you're not allowed?
The law we were just talking about.
You mean Threed's law? Threed's law don't extend out here. Out here, anybody can smoke.
Well, I still don't want to.
All right, well, if it's because you don't want to, then you don't have to.
Now that I've answered two of your questions, how about you answer one of mine, and then we can continue to go back and forth.
Well, that's spoken like a true gentleman, taking turns. I like that. I'll take a turn, Wyatt, and I'll answer your question.
Where am I?
You are in the finest penitentiary this side of Threed.
What's it called?
It's called the Pit, though we pride ourselves on discretion, so I would not blame you if you had not heard of such a thing.
Might as well give it a shot. Can I roll history or something?
Absolutely.
Why, it's dumbass. Can I roll a 3 or something? Oh, there was a 2 on this dice, but it was a 12. Minus 1 is 11.
Wyatt, the only penitentiary you've heard of is Fort Penitence.
Okay.
Which is the one pretty close to Threed. The Pit does not ring any bells.
If this is a penitentiary, who comes out here?
Who comes out here?
The Badlands are a little lawless, I'm not going to lie. It's a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Well, then you answered your own question. Doesn't a place that presents itself as lawless need some form of law and order?
Yeah, but who are you to determine what that is?
Who am I? Who am I? Why, I'm just the simple businessman that happens to find himself... Well, Wyatt, let me back up. Allow me to back up and let me answer my earlier question. If a man who wrongs you, offends you in the eyes of the law, but does not deserve death, why, you lock that man up and throw away the key. You put him in a place you ain't never have to see him again.
Did you get locked up?
He smiles and says, well, there was a time when I was on that side of the bars, Wyatt. I was once a wicked man. I looked at life from the other side, and I had a lot of time to think, and you know what I thought, Wyatt? How inefficient it all was. You know, people just sitting around waiting for their lives to end. While other people, they get rich. And I thought to myself, well, if they can do that, why can't I do that? You see, penitentiaries, they are some of the oldest occupations in this natural world. All the normal people, they need to know that they're safe. You understand? That the big baddies that want to hurt them in the night, well, that those people get to go away forever. And those normal people, they don't have to kill them to do it. Because killing's wrong. You understand? So by having a penitentiary, by having a pen, you can throw away those baddies forever and not have their blood on your hands. And that's a... That's my contribution to society.
But that still doesn't answer the question of why you get to decide who comes in here or who doesn't. There, I just gave her echo. There are no laws anywhere out here. We got chased by a slot machine.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Getting chased by slot machines. Normally, they'd be the other way around, grown men chasing slot machines.
Oh, I'm not allowed to do that either.
There's that word again, allowed. Wyatt, are you or are you not your own person?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Then say it with your chest.
I
Go on now.
I, Wyatt Forsythe, am my own person.
Yeah. And you can make your own decisions?
I mean, I can make my own decisions, but there are rules and guidelines to things.
See, and that's where we differ, you and I. A man knows precisely when rules need to be broken. And that's what brings me to you being here today, is that you did break a number of rules to be sitting on my couch.
Can I have the itemized list, please?
Sure. Well, for starters, trespassing.
There were no signs saying do not, no trespassing?
No, I do recall having those signs installed, so if you were unable to see them, that's no fault of mine.
If they were not fully visible for anyone to be able to see, then that would be your fault and they would not be enforceable.
Well, potato, potato. The charge still stands.
I love that expression.
The charge still stands. Trespassing. Not to mention breaking and entering, killing one of my guards. All manner of forcing yourselves upon this property.
That was self-defense.
Oh, self-defense. Interesting. You're going to call your lawyer?
I mean, I'd like to. Can I have a moment?
See, that's the problem, isn't it? It's that in order to expedite the process of justice, to make sure the bad people really get what they deserve out here, well, it's fallen to me to be a judge, jury, and the third one. But you know what? Wyatt, I don't think you're a bad guy. And I don't think your friends are bad either. So I'm willing to forget this whole charade. How's that sound?
At the judge, jury, and the third thing statement, Wyatt had been concerned because he's woke up in a hole with these two strangers.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, was the first time that he almost felt threatened in this conversation.
Okay.
In return for what?
See, you're a smart man. You know that there's no such thing as altruism. Everybody's got a price, and everybody has something they want. And it seems you've already learned that lesson.
Did you know that you talk a lot?
I've been told. I apologize if I'm a little bit of a chatty Cathy.
No one else wants to listen to you down here?
Well, my wife likes to listen to me just fine. Don't you, Honey Bunny?
And he and Honey Bunny pass kissy faces to each other.
I want to insight check that.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a 21.
Oh, 21. Okay. On a 21, these kisses are surface level for both of them. There is no true love to be had here. I think both are on some level aware that they are using each other. You see a certain micro expression cross Honey Bunny's face before she fully delves into character and gives kisses back.
Would you mind if I maybe talk to Honey Bunny alone a little bit?
He looks at you and says, "Oh, am I boring you with my company?"
No, but I like to get different perspectives, you know? And she hasn't said a single word the entire time that we've been in here.
Boyd nods and says, "All right.
Honey Bunny, why don't you and the boy step outside for a second? This is my office."
Okay, sure.
You turn, and as you turn, you see there is one more person in this room. In the corner at a small desk. He has been silent this whole time. There is a small, deep gnomish man. And no, not that one.
I was going to ask.
No.
Because that would be awful.
No, this deep gnomish man has a small pair of spectacles that he nudges up his nose. He runs his hand through his pale hair and is sitting quietly, invested in what is going on. And as you and Honey Bunny make your ways to the door, Boyd kicks his feet back up onto the desk and says,
"Now don't go stealing her now."
Why would I do that?
That's a joke, son.
It was? Oh.
He just laughs at you as you go outside with Honey Bunny. And as you go out into the hallway, Max, would you do me a favor?
What?
Would you call in Robin?
No, goddammit. Sure. Robin! Have you ever wanted to own your own magical bookstore? Well, do I have the game for you? The Wanderer's Bookshop is crowdfunding on BackerKit right now. In this mixed-media solo journaling game, you play as a wanderer with a burning literary question that the bookshop will help you solve. Guided by tarot cards and dice, you'll curate your own bookshop using both the cards and the dice, but also the books you're reading. I'm currently reading an epic sci-fi opera called Revelation Space, so I kind of wonder how that would impact the story. Now, I know I just said this is a solo journaling game, but you can totally play with others as well. You can do it with book discussions, trading book sources, or even writing leading notes in each other's journals. Want to find out more about the Wanderer's Bookshop? Head on over to the BackerKit page at tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks to check it out. And from one wanderer to another,
I hope you find the answers you're looking for.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Hayden, you are cutting through passageways. You see the path in front of you take a sharp turn to the right. Mm-hmm. At the turn of this passage is a ladder leading up to a separate passageway that continues forward.
Great. I climb right up.
You climb the ladder? Okay.
Yeah.
As you go to the ladder, you hear noises. Mm. You look over that, or the passageway that turn leads into leads down to another turn, and at that turn, you see a full-grown owlbear goring a man. Ooh. The number 8 flickering over this man, and as you watch, the 8 flickers out, and you hear the cheers of the crowd beyond the shimmering wall. You go ahead and climb the ladder.
I still don't really have my bearings.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to climb the ladder. I'm going to get to safety.
Okay.
As much safety as I can find here.
You start to climb the ladder. As you touch it, you find it sticky.
Oh, no.
You begin to ascend, but about 3 rings up, you find your hands have become stuck. And then, with a jolt, the ladder begins to lurch upward. You look up to see in the passage above, pulling the ladder up claw over claw, is a mimic. And you realize now the ladder is its tongue. Oh. As it pulls the ladder closer and closer to its gaping, fanged mouth. What do you do?
Can I use my hands?
You are grappled by the mimic. You have disadvantage.
Okay.
On this strength attack to free yourself.
Glitter baby, help.
Glitter baby comes from your pocket. Still here. Glitter baby is also with you. Glitter baby Great. Peeks out and then looks up and goes.
Just help me pry my hands off.
Glitter baby is going to negate your disadvantage on this check. So go ahead and roll.
Great. Strength.
Yep, it is athletics.
Oh, that was cocked between an 8 and a natural 20. Let's try that again.
Oh!
I know, I'm sad. That's an 8. The fates have spoken. I'm stuck to this guy.
Oh, wait a minute. Escaping a grapple, to do so, it must succeed on a strength, athletics, or dexterity, acrobatics.
Oh, okay. If it's an acrobatics, then that is an 8 plus 8, 16.
Yeah, you're good. So that's a 16.
Okay. Yeah, that's a 16.
You are able to free a hand as you are brought up onto the ledge with this mimic.
Was that my action?
That was your action.
Okay. I will cast Misty Step.
Okay.
To get away.
Okay. Are you going past the mimic or back down to the level you were on?
Past the mimic. I think I can outrun the mimic in a way that I'm not sure I can outrun the owlbear.
You teleport up the tunnel past the mimic, and as you come out of that teleportation, you nearly smack headlong into a dwarven man coming up the side tunnel. Long, dark braided hair, the number 12 hangs over his head. And he goes, "Huh!" And he lurches backward.
"Don't worry, buddy. I don't have time for you."
He says, I got nothing. Don't hurt me."
"Wasn't planning on it. I just need to get going where I'm going. Have you seen a blonde woman?"
He says, "A blonde? I haven't had time to see anybody, buddy."
"All right,
and he
all right.
looks.
Good
he
luck
looks
to
and
you.
Sees the mimic behind you and says, why don't we...
"Don't go that way. Just don't."
he says, I'm going that way." He points down the way the tunnel continues.
Let's go together for a minute then."
He says, "Okay, I'm coming too."
"All right."
He says, I'm Dern.
Hayden.
"Okay."
"I'd shake a hand, but we need to get running."
He says, yeah, this is said as you're both running. You're just like... You continue along, and as you do, the labyrinth quiets. You're able to outrun the mimic.
Okay.
You continue into a quieter section of the labyrinth. And he says, "What are you in for?"
"I just fell in a hole. What is this? Do you know anything about where we are?"
He nods and says, "Trespassing. I was mountaineering. I fell in a hole. I wound up in a cell. And there's a lot of other people around also in for trespassing. I guess that happened to you too. And then the guards picked me out and threw me into the games."
"I didn't even see guards. You're ahead of me. Are we being watched? It sounded like there was an announcement."
He says, "From what I heard, I was able to talk to some people in other cells. This is a sport."
"Don't like the sound of that."
"We're all in here competing for them."
"Who's them?"
"I don't know. I never seen beyond the shimmery wall."
Can I make an insight check?
Go ahead.
This guy is very freely giving out information, and I'm suddenly concerned.
Go ahead.
That is a 13.
With a 13, as Dern is saying all of this, his hands are shaking.
Okay.
If he is lying, then he is still scared.
"Look, I don't know for certain, but I think I've got some friends in here. So let's keep an eye out. You see a blonde woman in a dress or a little hobgoblin boy, braces on his fangs. They'll help you out."
"Shit. They got a kid?"
"Yeah. But he can hold his own. He knows what he's doing."
"I hope they can."
"Me too."
You turn a corner. Ahead of you, you see the path split into two separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
Down one corridor, you look and see a tiefling person backing into a corner.
Okay.
Short, curled horns, spectacles. They have a sword out in front of them, the number 15 above their head. And as they stand there, apparently guarding themselves from something, you see a dagger plant itself out of nowhere in their chest.
Ooh.
They stagger back, drop their sword, and then they are hoisted into the air by some unknown force. And you watch with horror as the knife makes its way down their front, spilling them open. The number 15 disappears from above their head, and the crowd cheers once more. As you watch, a figure covered from head to toe in a suit of all white knight's armor appears. They hold the tiefling's body aloft in one hand and then discard it. There is no number above their head as they turn to look at you.
Shit, Dern, I don't think that's the way to go. Let's turn the other way.
Dern, you look. Dern has already cut down the other passageway and is running for his life.
You know what? I love the way you think.
You watch as as you start to run, you hazard one last glance down the other hallway. You look and see this figure turn. Its head faces you, and then you watch it blip out of sight.
Can I cast Fairy Fire?
You can try.
Okay. Honestly, this spell has never worked well for me before, so let's see what happens. This is a dex save for the knight.
Okay. What's the number to beat?
17.
On a 17 exactly.
Oh.
The knight disappears.
Okay, I'm running.
You bolt. And as you do, Robin, would you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Would you call in Rowan, please?
I would love to not be here anymore.
I have notes. I have information I want from Loda.
Oh, my God. Okay, you're meditating. Essentially.
Like, yeah, I'm letting Loda tell me her jokes, and as she's doing, I'm hoping this bolsters her confidence as well, because I want to use Inspiring Leader on her as well, just in case.
Mm.
Give her an extra 10 temp or extra 16 temp HP.
Yeah.
I just want to let her hype herself up.
Sure. And as she says, and the bear wipes his ass with the rabbit.
Oh, that's a good one. I ain't heard that in a minute.
You cast a spell on Loda?
No, I don't cast a spell on her. I use my Inspiring Leader feat. This just like bolsters people with like confidence and resolve, and it gives them an extra 16 temp HP.
No magic necessary.
I don't believe so. This is not a spell. This
Incredible.
Is just
no.
like helping people.
Of course. She immediately, you see... After she tells the joke, you see she pulls herself up enough that you can see her smile.
Oh.
And she says, "Hot damn, that's the best time I ever told that one."
It was, you know, the delivery was real spot on for you. It was really good. God, you just got such a bright smile. It lights up the room. We need to get you out of here so you can show it to more people.
The smile falters a little bit. And she says, "Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Hey, can I tell you a secret?
Sure. You want to.
Yeah, a couple friends of mine and I just got a group of folks out from underneath Blackthorn Hollow that had been there for 6 months.
Hot damn. Blackthorn Holler.
My family was down there. And to hear them tell it, just about everybody in that town had all but lost hope of getting out. So much so that my Aunt Li even turned herself into a tree to make sure that what was keeping them down there didn't get out either. But we went down there and we got them out. So, at least for now, our track record seems to be one for one in terms of getting folks out of months-long imprisonment situations.
Well, okay. I hope you're right.
You'll be the first to know if I am. I'm also going to lay on hands myself just to get myself back up to full.
Sure.
Loda, I got a question for you. If this place here is for trespassers, what were you doing here? And do you know if there's places that they take other people? Besides here in the games?
This is well. Back in, back in my time on the outside, I was a little bit of a, what's the phrase? A conspiracy theorist.
Hmm.
And I
believed that there was a town around these parts. They said a town of legend, town of knights that walked the earth still, that they do things as they did 1,000 years ago.
Mm.
I was looking for it. And I guess I took a wrong turn.
And if you found a place like that, what would you want to do?
Well, I'd go back to... I'd go back to Jim, that shithead, and I would tell him that I was right the whole time. And I would stand up before our entire friend group, and I would say, I was right, and you was wrong, and you can all kiss my ass.
Mm, would you say that even if the people from that town told you they didn't want to be found?
Well, I don't know. Secrets got to be spilled eventually, right? They ain't going to stay secret forever.
You'd be surprised. Some secrets stay secrets for a long time, and sometimes that's how some people stay alive.
Stay alive?
Yeah.
They hiding because they're in danger?
I don't know. If you were practicing a way of life that the powers that be didn't understand and might look down on, you might be hiding out too.
I don't know about all that. That's all a little over my head, but I mean, I don't know. If they really asked me not to, fuck. But then I wouldn't be able to tell Jim about all this.
Mm.
That shithead Jim would win.
Yeah, but you'd know you won in your heart.
Yeah, but you know how men get.
Oh, do I ever.
Nice to just rub his face in it.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I get it. Jim a friend?
Listen, Jim's on again, off again.
Oh, Lord. Girl, you're better than that. Come on.
Listen. I don't want to hear it. I hear it from everybody, so why don't you... If you think you're so good, I bet you've never been in a bad relationship.
I hold up the gun and say, this used to be my husband's. We were on again, off once.
Holy shit. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Hot damn, was he rich?
Yeah, he was.
You take his money, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
That startles her.
Well, I guess I'd, over time, good God, couple weeks at a time, I'd take 5 gold off the top of what he gave me to go shopping with, but that was just enough money to leave.
Damn.
I just wanted out.
And now you're here.
Yeah. Trying to get out again.
Well, both are hard.
Yeah, they are. You ain't seen any knights from any kind of secret cities around here, have you?
Oh, hun, if I had, they would get no peace from me. I would be asking them questions all hours of the damn night.
Oh, you know what? You and me both. I'd be real curious to see a place like that.
She cracks a grin, and as she does, over her shoulder, you see 2 guards come around the corner of this row. One of them a human woman, and the other a large hog man.
Ooh, that's fun.
The hog man consults a piece of paper and then points. The other agrees, and they start to walk towards your cell. The 2 guards approach, walking up to the cell next to yours. The cell with the terrified man.
Oh.
On the other side. As one of them begins to fiddle with the keys, you hear him scream, "No! No! No! Leave me alone!
Hey, hey, hey!
Stay away from me!"
What are y'all doing to him?
The guards pay you no mind as they begin to shuffle through the keys, and he says, "Stay away from me! I swear to God, I'll..." You see from over the wall a large fireball launch from his fingertips. It burns through the air towards the guards, then hits the shimmer. It bounces off, rushing back towards the man, who manages a soft "oh" before it connects,
An explosion of flame erupts as fiery pieces of this man decorate the interior of his cell. Loda gives a low whistle. The Hogman guard slaps his forehead in anger. The other looks over and then points at your cage, Salome.
What the hell did you do to him?
The Hogman shrugs. And then they move towards your cage. And Loda says, well, damn, of the 12 people who lived in your cell, that was the shortest time yet. I hope the next one's as nice as you.
I stare down the guards and say, I'll be back, Loda, don't worry. And next time I'm taking you with me.
The Hogman begins to shuffle through the keys as the other guard turns and motions to a guard down at the end of the hall. You see that guard turn and pull a lever. You feel a lurch as the floor begins to drop out from under you. You have 2 seconds to do something. What do?
I cast invisibility on myself.
You cast invisibility on yourself.
Yeah.
The floor begins to drop away, and the Hogman does a double take at your cell. And then motions for the other guard. The other guard throws the lever, and the floor stays put. Both guards peer into the cell. What do?
I do nothing.
The Hogman fiddles with the keys again, and the other guard looks at him, sort of nods to the cage, and they think for a second. The Hogman shakes his head, starts to turn. The other guard grabs the keys from him and starts to unlock the cell to investigate. The Hogman roars. He pushes the guard to the other guard to the ground as you hear the lock click.
Has it swung open at all, or is it still closed and the shimmer is still...
It starts to swing open. You see the shimmer dissipate. You have 5 seconds before the Hogman relocks the door.
I pull the door open, and I use my readied action to attack him.
Okay. The opening the door is an object interaction.
Okay.
So you do that for free.
Great.
That's your one.
I'm going to attack him, and if it hits, I will probably use a shove attack on the other one.
Okay.
But I do get advantage on this attack because I'm invisible.
Okay.
I rolled 2 sixes, but let me see what that is with the... Look at the Lord. That's 2 16s to hit.
That just hits.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. I will attack him. I'm not going to smite or anything because he's just a guard and I think I want to save some stuff. But with a melee attack, that does an extra d10, right? So it's a d8 plus a d10?
Not yet. Your next successful attack gets one. Oh. You stack it onto your next attack. So your first attack...
All right.
...is just regular damage.
Okay, first attack is 11 damage.
Okay.
How's he looking?
He's not looking bad.
Right. And then the lady is still... Is she prone?
She's prone right now. She's starting to get up.
All right. Well, in that case, I mean, I will... attack him again.
Okay.
I come out of invisibility, so does my... I think my second attack would not have disadvantage or have advantage?
It would not.
Okay, that's okay. That's a 22 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, great.
Roll damage.
21 damage.
Ooh, so 32 total.
Yep.
Wow. He staggers back, just completely stunned by what just happened.
And I cheese it. I start running.
You full run.
Yeah, I'll take the opportunity attack if I need to, but I cheese it.
You hear him scream. You hear Loda shout, go, go, you got this. Get out of here.
I'll come back for you, girl. Hold on.
She says, you got this. Tell Jim I said, fuck you.
You tell him yourself.
And you run. Down the row of cages, you pass cells left and right. All of them, the residents look to see what's going on. You pass another stunned guard on the way, and you keep running.
Great.
Deeper into this place. And would you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Would you call in Max?
I can call in Max, yeah.
Wyatt, you make your way out into the hallway with Honey Bunny.
Can I, while I'm talking to Honey Bunny, can I use my passive perception to kind of clock anything coming from that room? It's a 19. Or would you like me to roll just to kind of have... The reason I'm saying passive is because just to kind of have it going.
I think passive is good. And with a 19, you'll be able to clock if anything goes on in the room. You may not... I think for specifics, you'll need to roll for it.
Okay.
But with a passive perception of 19... you get the sense that as soon as the doors close, you hear whispering.
Oh, I gotta then roll for that.
Okay.
That's a nat 20.
I mean, you catch a snippet. You catch, like, as soon as the doors close, you hear the deep gnomish man turn and say, "Do you think it's really gonna work? Do you think we've got everything we need this time?" To which Boyd replies, "Hush! Doc, hush, all in good time. You know, worrying's not good for that already receding hairline." And as you catch the end of that, you are snapped out of listening to that conversation by the flick of a lighter. And you look, and Honey Bunny is lighting up a cigarette.
Oh, you too? That's not good for your health.
She... with a cigarette between her lips, says, "All right, kid, what do you want?"
Just to start, Boyd is the warden.
Yeah.
What do you do?
She scrunches her face for a second and then says, How in depth you want me to go on that?
I mean, as in depth as you feel you need to do. I really like learning.
She shrugs and says, "All right, well, I'm here to make sure that Boss Man has somebody to come home to at the end of the day. Someone to rub his big leathery shoulders. Someone to..." She takes a drag and says, "blow off steam with."
"Oh, like watch a Dynamo Tex movie with?"
Her eyes narrow and she says, "Sure. Yeah, we get those flicks over here."
"Well, that's fun. Boyd said... he gets really rich running this place. This is a profitable prison?"
She gives you a look, and she says, "Kid, have you ever heard of a non-profit prison?"
I assume that they all were.
"Hell no. What are you going to do to pay the guards, kid?"
"Taxes."
"With taxes?"
"Yeah, with taxes."
"Oh, you think people are paying taxes out here, kid?"
"No, I don't, which is why I'm very confused about what's happening here."
"Did you come out here to talk finances with me, or do you got a question on your mind?"
"No, yeah, I was just wondering what it is that you do here, because when we were in there, you didn't say anything, because Boyd talks a lot."
"Yeah, well," she extends her ring finger at you, and there's a huge rock on it. And she points, and she says, "That is my ticket here. This gains me anything I want. And all I gotta do is shut up. Though, I will say, it is kind of nice to be asked questions from time to time. So I do appreciate that."
"Yeah, of course. I can ask more if you'd like. Particularly, I'm gonna ask a couple first, and then I have one really big question for you."
"All right, go to town."
"Do you know where my friends are that I came here with?"
"Oh, she flicks out her cigarette and stamps on it and says, "Not a chance, kid. I ain't throwing away my meal ticket on account of you and your friends. Even if I did know, I wouldn't tell you. Next question."
"Why isn't anybody telling me where my friends are?"
"'Cause it's a prison, sweetie."
"Okay, they did the same things that I did. Why aren't they here?"
She sighs and says, "Wyatt, there's one thing that you have that your little friends don't have. We know you're little Wyatt Forsyth. That you come from money."
"How do you know that?"
Perhaps we ain't the middle of nowhere hicks you think we are. Maybe we got connections too. Now, you got any other questions for me, Wyatt?
I think hearing that statement, like, almost like activates Wyatt in a sense.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What questions do you have about the Eternal Flame?
This fully catches her off guard, and she sort of, she is taken aback.
Sorry, that was the big one. That was the big one. Sorry.
What? Eternal Flame?
Yeah.
Ain't it dead? And as she says that, the double doors swing open, and Boyd says, "Well, now, I think that's quite long enough with the lady. Honey Bunny, why don't you go out and play? Let the men talk." And Honey Bunny immediately, it is a lesson in acting, the way she flips on a persona.
Why, takes notes.
She turns and says, "Absolutely anything you like, hun. I'll go freshen up." She turns and steps lightly away on very tall high heels, stilettos even. And then Boyd turns to you and says, "You get everything you need?"
"Where are my friends?"
"Where are your friends? Where are your friends? Where are your friends? Where are your friends? Hell, son, if I didn't know better, I'd say your daddy was a parrot."
"You know who my dad is. Miss Honeybunny just told me."
A look crosses his face. He says,
"Interesting. I wonder what your daddy would think of you running around with two, what did you say? Fugitives of the law? I thought the law was important."
Wyatt stops talking at that.
"But I'm willing to forgive all of that, like I said before. I'll let you and your friends skitter on out of here."
"What do you want?"
"What do I want? Well, Wyatt, I want to know what you want. What were you doing here exactly? Were you looking for something?"
"I was coming out here with my friend's help to come on a journey of personal growth."
Boyd's eyes narrow as you say that. He says,
"Right. Apropos of nothing, a thought has entered my mind. Why don't I take you on a little tour of the facilities right before you and your friends skitter on out of here? You'll get to see our finest holding cells. I'll take you down to the Fount of the Flame itself, dried up as it may be. And all I ask in return is that you and your friends keep to that discretion I talked about before. Don't go telling anybody you found the pit. Understand?"
"I don't think Miss Salome would want me to take that deal."
"That's interesting. That's very interesting. But Miss Salome ain't here right now, is she?"
Wyatt tries to not show excitement at the Fount and fear and confusion. Like, he just trying to keep, he's doing everything he can to keep a straight face in this moment.
I am going to ask you to roll a deception check. And the only reason I ask that is because Boyd is fishing.
That's a 17.
You can't tell what Boyd is thinking. But he offers out his hand. He says,
"Do we have an accord?"
"Deal."
Boyd extends his hand and says, "Why don't we shake on it? Like men." You shake his hand?
Very reluctantly.
you shake. Boyd's grip is strong as fuck. He grips your hand as you shake. A little startling for a man of his age. And then he says,
"Well, tour time it is. Why don't we head on down this way?"
And he claps you on the back, and you begin your descent into the pit. And Max, would you do me a favor?
No.
Would you call in
no.
Robin?
No, you could do that yourself.
Oh, okay.
After that, you could do that yourself.
Hayden.
Yes.
You are running from your encounter with this knight. You dart down an alley, dart down another. You are hot on Dern's heels as you both run. With Dern sort of just going, left. You run left. I don't know. You come to an intersection and there's a left or a right. Which one do you take?
Left.
You both hard left. Down the hall. And continue. And then around a final corner, you look. There's a long stretch of hallway and then an open area, a clearing.
I book it towards the clearing.
You both book it towards the clearing. You reach the outside and you look. It looks like the entrance area. There is a semicircle. Mm-hmm. But the very tip of the semicircle, you see a red line. And behind that line, you see three people.
Who are these three people?
The first three people to get across the line.
Ooh.
And as you register this information, you hear Dern say, "I'm sorry, I got people on the other side." And he is going to attempt to shove you to the ground.
He's gonna try.
That is a miss. He shoves you, and you do not fall to the ground.
Look, Dern, five of me is not going to make this easier. Let's go into this together.
No, that's not how it works. Four people cross the line. Everybody else stays behind. And then he starts to run.
I cast Entangle.
Okay. You cast Entangle. Do I need to make a save?
I'm pretty sure that's a save. Let me check. Yes, strength save. DC 17.
You see vines erupt from the earth and hold tight to his legs. He falls forward and the vines ensnare his arms as well. He says, "No, no."
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And I run.
You run. You see other people begin to emerge from the maze as you cross the line. As you do, you hear a and a shimmer lunges up from the red line, closing the four people in.
Oh.
And you hear,
"Betrayal! Folks, I hope you had your money on number four. What an upset!"
And as the force field closes, you see one of the sides of the arena open, and many reptilian heads emerge.
Oh, fuck.
As a full-blown Hydra enters the arena. And he says,
"For anyone who did not bet on numbers 1, 4, 19, and 20, I'm so sorry. Better luck next time."
And you watch as one of the Hydra heads snatches up Dern. And as that happens, the platform you're on begins to descend.
Who's with me? Who's here?
There are three other people on this platform with you right now. The first is an owlish Aarakocra with the number 1 over their head. The second, a dragonborn missing one of their horns with the number 19. And an elven woman with auburn hair with the number 20. And all of them are in varying states of panting the Arakocra sinks to their knees and just seems to be in a daze right now. And as you are all there, the platform begins to descend into the earth as if on some sort of pulley system. And as it makes its way down, you hear from behind you a creak, and then you are pulled through a hidden door. You are in a hallway. Your eyes adjust to the darkness, and you see a figure clad in black leather armor, a helmet like a dog's face, full leather mask. And this person stares at you.
Well, my friends.
This person unsnaps the side of their mask and begins to pull it off. You see dark, coily hair, much shorter than last time, and piercing green eyes emerge from beneath the mask. And Belinda Bartle, the famous touring bard, reveals herself to you.
Girl, what the fuck are you doing here?
And she says, damn, I was kind of hoping I would ask you the same thing.
Fuck, I mean, it is you, right?
Yeah. She holds up her hands and says, hi. She pulls... No, her hair is actually too short to accommodate now. She, from her belt, pulls a jade hairpin. Says... Your friend still got this?
If she's alive.
Well, I'm hoping that might be the case.
Yeah, I'm hoping that too.
You all had information on my brother, right?
We do. Yeah, we saw him not a couple of days ago.
She smiles and says, thank God. It's not safe here.
Oh, fuck no, it's not.
She says, I'm going to act as your escorting guard. You keep close, all right?
I mean, sure, absolutely. I'll talk to anybody who knows more about what's going on than I do.
She places the mask back on. And together, you head deeper into the pit. Would you go ahead and call in Rowan?
Sure. I hope it still means that they're in the game.
Salome.
Yeah.
You are running.
Yeah.
You find the edge of this vast, vast room. And there is a long staircase leading up. Do you head up?
Yeah, absolutely.
You head up, and as you do, you look out and you see what you didn't necessarily see before. The rows of the cages, there are hundreds of them down here. And as you look, they circle off around the corner as if this entire place is built in a circle.
Whoa. I think Salome genuinely wonders to herself what is worth keeping this many people alive and imprisoned here. Like, she's been thinking very tactically for the last little while, and there is this just cold part of her that is like, the Jamesons would probably say that it is too expensive to keep this many people alive and imprisoned for no reason, unless you are somehow making more money by keeping them here than not.
Hmm. You head up. You head out a door into another hallway, and you keep running.
I would be calling out for Hayden and Wyatt, but I don't want to draw more attention to myself.
There is a point where you pass some guards. They watch you run past them and chuckle to themselves. And one of them says, another rookie late to their boast.
Oh, so I could fit in with a guard right now.
It doesn't look like the guards have uniforms.
Great. Okay.
And you are in full armor.
All right. Hell yeah. Then I'll stop at the guards.
You stop.
Yeah.
And they sort of look at you.
Oh, hey, I'm so sorry, y'all. I am
running behind. It is my second day on the job, and I'm lost as all hell. Can y'all help me find where I'm going?
One of them says, yeah, where the hell are you going?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm, we got a couple new trespassers in today. One of them's...
Ain't that just Tuesday?
Yeah, no, it's there's a lot of them down there. I was just talking to one. She didn't seem to know where any of them were, but...
You were talking with the prisoners?
Shit, am I not supposed to do that?
I just don't know why you would.
Well, I was asking her where, because
You think for a second, and as you do, one of the other guards says, look, where are you going?
I'm trying to get to where they're keeping the folks that they just brought in today. I'm supposed to be guarding them, and I'm already late.
Oh, well, you gotta go to, you gotta go to collections. It's down the hall that way, it's past the library.
Down the hall, past the library, all right. Where are the games happening today?
They look at each other, and they say, God damn, you're new.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm real fresh. I just came over here, because I don't know if y'all heard about Red Rock burning down, but I just came out here looking for work.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't really care about that, but the games happen in the arena.
Right.
That's what the arena's for.
Okay, but which way is it? I'm not that stupid.
All right.
Look, I need direction. Can you just give me, like, a map or something?
The guard says, look, there's 10 minutes left in my break. I'll just fucking take you there.
Thank you.
Turns to the other one and goes, fucking rookies. All right, come on.
And they start to lead you down a hallway.
Hmm.
A turn here, a turn there. You are making your way down. When you look at, you look through one of the open doorways you pass, and it looks to be a library. There are bookshelves, a table in the middle of the room, and on that table is a book. And that book is flipped open to a page that has a picture of the flame on it.
As a lion or as like the symbol of the eternal flame?
It is a drawing, so it's not perfect, but it looks like a artistic rendition of the flame as a lion.
Huh. All right. Hey, you know what? I'm so sorry. I just realized I was supposed to stop in at the library first to grab some identification and some badges and things like that, actually, before. So I'm going to actually stop in here. You said it was down the hall to the left or down the hall to the right. Left. I'm trying to be annoying as I can right now.
They both look at each other and go, yeah, just take a right at the end of the hallway. Jesus.
All right, it's fine. Yeah, no, okay. You sure? You can wait for me if you want to. I'm going to go...
You know what? Actually, I said I had a couple minutes left in my break. That's not true. It ends right now, so I'm going
to
go.
Oh, are you sure? I would love to have someone to hang out and talk with.
I'm going
to
fucking go. Bye. And they both take off.
Great. I sneak over to the library and at least start looking through the book, if not grab it.
You take a look at the book.
Yeah.
The book is A Journey Through Fire, The Flame and Its People. And the page it's open to is earmarked.
Mm.
It is flipped open to a passage that seems to be about the Fount of the Flame. And it says, despite the flame's massive surges of power, for all its time, it has been sealed, and only one flame touched can unlock its doors and bring forth nigh unlimited power. Should those unworthy find this power, all hell would break loose. And as you read this, someone else walks in the room.
I mean, I think I immediately think of Wyatt with someone flame-touched. But yeah, who walks in?
You look and see a small, deep gnome man. Not that one.
Okay. You had me scared for a second.
With spectacles and pale hair, walk in. He stops, sees you, and says, Who the fuck are you? And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five.
The Badlands.
Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got a $2 tier if you just want to show your support. $5 a month will get you all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew content, early access to merch, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. Then if you really want to go the distance, our $10 tier includes all of the above, plus monthly live streams and creative content from the cast that you can't get anywhere else. Check it out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kirstner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. It'll be the easiest New Year's resolution you've ever accomplished. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in one breath. Michael Carey, Mara Nutt, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Couple, Jay, Theo Ells, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippy Fresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jelly Cube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trot Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Alison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest, Doki, Liz, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldest Soldier, Lana Pang, Laura Hickman, Al, and Sammy Richardson. Whew, I was pumping that one out like an accordion right at the end there, but I made it. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the little boy who lives down the lane about the show. I haven't talked to him because I would find that creepy, but if you want to, go for it. And if you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?